Hello and welcome. The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Lifestreams Christian Church. For more information, please visit our website at lifestreamscc.com.
Good morning. If you didn't hear me earlier, it's great to be in God's house worshipping together. Today we're up to chapter 15 in the story. And you might remember that we're in a 31-week series, so we're almost halfway there. Chapter 15. And I've noticed a number of you getting excited about the story, the book again, and we've made them a... Oh, that's my phone. Sorry about that. You can actually tell a lot by someone's ringtone, can't you? Just wait, it's my dad. Sorry, I better answer it. Hey, Dad. Yeah, it's Rod. You called me, mate. It's Rod. Yep. Mate, it's just a bit difficult at the moment. I've got like 200 people staring at me. And, can I call you back? I'm busy at the moment. And, yeah, I will, I promise. Yeah, I'm more than happy to give you a hand this afternoon after church, all right? I'm preaching at the moment. A little bit embarrassing. Okay, no worries, mate. I'll speak to you this afternoon. Thanks. Oh, sorry about that, church. It's a really good reminder to put your mobile phones on to silent. But you know, that mobile phone interruption is very much about the idea of the story this morning. Today, I want you to know that God is speaking. God is speaking. God is trying to reach His people with a message. I wonder, who's ever watched Dead Poets Society? It's a pretty old movie. Fantastic old movie. All boys school. And I've got this clip that I'd just love you to have a look at.
Hello? Yes, he is. Just a moment. Mr. Nolan, it's for you. It's God. He says we should have girls at Welton.
I remember watching that movie when I was a young fella, thinking that was fantastic. So, God is speaking. He's even trying to speak to Mr. Nolan. But I wonder, have you ever done this? You know, you get a phone call on your mobile phone, and I guess the first thing we do is we look at the caller ID, don't we? And I know you're not like this. I know you're not like anything like me. But the reality is there's some people that you answer and there's probably some people that you think, oh, that could wait and I'll get back to them. You'd never do that though, would you? Especially if I rang you, you'd be like, oh, I need to speak to Rod. Yep, I'll definitely answer this call. But the reality is we do that, don't we? And today's question is this. Will you respond to God or will you see His caller ID? So on your mobile phone, caller ID will be God. He wants to speak to you. Will you let it ring out? Will you answer it? Or will you let it go straight to Message Bank this morning? Now, as I said, we pick up the story in chapter 15. Anyone brought their story with them? A couple of people, fantastic. That's great. A little bit earlier, before I got interrupted by my dad, I was trying to say to you that if you would like to purchase a book, you can purchase them now at the cafe, and you can use a card to get them now as well. You don't need cash. So we pick up the story in chapter 15, and if you've got your real, I guess your normal Bible with you this morning, it's in the book of 2 Kings. And the message that God desires to be heard is delivered by special servants called prophets, or like what we've entitled our message this morning, God's messengers. And because the Bible is arranged topically and not chronologically, so our normal Bibles are topical and the story is arranged chronologically so that it's sort of one continuous story all the way through, one continuous narrative, many at this point will enter a place in their Bibles where it gets a little bit tough to figure out kind of what's going on. The Old Testament books are arranged, you know, there's 17 books of history, there's 5 books of poetry, and then there's 17 books of prophecy. And last week we heard that God's nation was divided into 2 kingdoms. Now I'm wondering how much you can remember. I'll let me do a couple of little tests. It was divided into 2 kingdoms, 10 tribes called Israel. Were they north or south? North. And who were they led by? Jeroboam. Very well done. Good. And 2 tribes to the south, and they were called Judah. And they're in the south, and they were led by... And who was Rehoboam? Connected to Solomon. Yes, his son. Fantastic. And at this point in the story, the Old Testament can get a little bit sort of confusing. What's going on, you know, if you read through your word chronologically? So what we've done, and you might have noticed in your community life this morning, we've put together just this little tool, a little timeline of the story with its historical books, with its prophetic books, and with its poetry books. And it's all synchronized to the main events and to the main characters, and also to, obviously, the time when, notice down the bottom there, it says dates are approximate and dependent on an interpretive theories of various scholars. So obviously we're not going to be able to go, you might go, oh, it didn't happen then. Well, it might not have. These are interpretations of when it happened. So what I want you to do is notice, you could go to Israel and then turn over to Judah. Notice the time frame there. It's roughly at the same time, okay? The times between the north and the south kingdoms overlap. And this is the period that we are now in, chapter 15 and the story. So I hope that helps. Hope that gives you a little overview of kind of where we're up to at the moment. So we have the unified nation of Israel split into 2 kingdoms. In the lower story, you might have heard me talk about this, the lower story and the upper story. In the lower story, this was a conflict between Jeroboam and Rehoboam. However, in the upper story, God is at work. So God is always at work in our lower story. He's always at work in the upper story trying to achieve his purpose, not only in the story, but also in our lives. And the question that I want to throw at you this morning is, what is his purpose? Why did God divide the nation? Well, can I suggest that I believe he divided the nation because the people's hearts were divided. In chapters 2 of the story, let's take a bit of a step back, right back to chapter 2 of the story. God promised Abraham and Sarah, he gave them a promise that through them he would build a great nation, a nation that would reveal and reflect his character. And it would be through them that he would roll out his rescue plan. And you might be thinking, rescue plan? Why does he need a rescue plan? Well, if you go to chapter 1, you would remember that he is wanting to rescue what he lost back in chapter 1 when sin entered the earth, entered the world through Adam. Remember, it's because of sin he lost his piece de resistance, you know, his masterpiece, his prized creation. He lost the heart of man. And ever since then, God has been trying to get our attention. God has been trying to woo us back into relationship with him. And also in the story, earlier in the story, we're told that from the offspring of David and through the tribe of Judah, God will bring a Messiah. Now, you might be thinking, okay, that's some prophecy. Well, the reality is some commentators believe that there's hundreds of scriptures that prophesy the coming Messiah, that prophesy Jesus. I wanted this morning to share 2 of them very quickly, and they're going to hop up on the screen. Genesis 49 verse 10 says this, "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his." Genesis 49 verse 10, pointing towards the Messiah coming out of Judah. Let's go down to Jeremiah 23 verse 5. It says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I'll raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Saviour. So there we have Jeremiah pointing to the Messiah. And because we stand on this side of history, because we stand on this side of this book, we know that God's rescue plan and these promises are fulfilled in who? Jesus. Everything that we have read so far in this story points to a Messiah being a part of God's rescue plan. Everything in the Old Testament points to who? Points to Jesus. And if that's all you remember in this series, or at least this part of the series, all you remember that the Old Testament, all its purpose is to point us to Christ, then that is good. But, there's always a but at this point in the story, the kingdom is divided. The kingdom is divided into two. Both divisions are rebelling from God. Their hearts are divided. They have become complacent in devotion, disobedient to God's commands, and worshippers of pagan little g gods, Asherah poles, Baals, golden calves. They were no longer revealing the character and the nation, the nature of God, and something had to be done. So God divides the nation into two. And he does that to call them back to obedience and back into relationship with him. And the reality is, it's interesting, the reality is that he doesn't need all 12 tribes to fulfill his promises, the promises of Abraham and the promises of David. He only needs one. And that tribe has been chosen. What tribe is that? It's Judah. And even though he doesn't need the 12 tribes, God doesn't give on, he doesn't give up on those 10 tribes to the north, which again says something to me about his character. Awesome God, a God of love, doesn't want any to perish. So God doesn't give up on those 10 tribes to the north, and what he does is he sends prophets to those 10 tribes in the northern kingdom. And he does that to call them back to obedience. So, let's get a bit more specific. Well, 9 prophets. This is the actual number that he sends to the northern kingdom. He sends it to the 19 kings in Israel, and it's over a period of 208 years. 3 of those 9 prophets. First one, Elijah. The second one, there's 3 that I want to focus on this morning. It's Elijah, and Hosea. God's men, God's messengers. And their mission is to simply hear from God, then to take that message and communicate that message to the kings and to the people. Let's have a look at this, and this will give you a snapshot of these God men.
During the time that Israel was divided, God told a prophet named Elijah that there would be a drought in the land. He directed Elijah to leave the area and live by himself for 3 years near a ravine where he would have all the water he needed. One day, God told Elijah to go and confront King Ahab and his wife Jezebel about leading the Israelites to worship a false god named Baal. Elijah asked Ahab and all the people of Israel to meet him on the top of a mountain. Ahab brought 450 prophets of Baal with him. Elijah decided to conduct a challenge to prove that he followed the true God. 2 bulls were brought to be sacrificed. The prophets of Baal laid down pieces of wood and put the bull on it, but did not set fire to it. "Call on the name of your God," Elijah challenged, "and I will call on mine. Whichever answers by fire, he is God." From early morning until noon, The prophets asked their god Baal to send fire, but nothing happened. Elijah taunted them, "Shout louder! Perhaps your god is in deep thought or sleeping." So they shouted louder and cut themselves with their swords and spears, but still nothing happened. He quickly built an altar using 12 stones, one to represent each tribe of Israel. Finally, he asked those around him to pour water all over the bull and the wood. There was so much water flowing that it filled the trench around the altar. Then Elijah called out, "Let it be known today that you are God in Israel." And fire fell from the sky and burned up the bull, the wood, and even the stones and soil, vaporizing all the water around it. The prophets of Baal were then arrested and killed in the valley below the mountain. When King Ahab returned home and told his wife Jezebel what happened, she was furious and sent word to Elijah that she was going to have him killed. So Elijah fled to the wilderness. There he met an angel sent by God to take care of him, who gave him food and water. Eventually, God told Elijah that Elisha would take his place as a prophet in Israel. Not long after, Elijah and Elisha were walking along the road, and a chariot and horses made of fire appeared out of nowhere and took Elijah up into the sky. So Elisha continued to do God's work, performing miracles, and at one point even raising a young boy from the dead. Elijah stretched out his body over the boy and caused him to sneeze 7 times, bringing him back to life. For many years after, God continued to use Elisha and a number of other prophets to perform miracles and warn the Israelites of all that would happen to them if they did not follow God. Despite the prophets' warnings, the next several kings led Israel further and further from God. It was only a matter of time before things had to change.
So Elijah, what a way to go, hey? Awesome. But the first prophet, Elijah, is well known for his encounter with the 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Israel's God prevailed by answering with fire. The other cool story is Elijah, and he's well known for his encounter. Elijah is well known for bringing the young boy back to life by lying on top of him. And it's interesting, the people didn't choose to illustrate that. And I was kind of thinking, gee, I'm glad that we don't need to use that technique in first aid training these days. And then there's Hosea. And under Jeroboam II, he was commanded by God to marry Gomer. And if you know your Bible, you'd know that Gomer is a prostitute. And he was commanded to love her. And this may seem a bit out there, this part of the story. But God, through Hosea, was demonstrating by life and by word that he deeply loves the adulterous Israel. And he wanted Israel to turn from their idols and to come back to him. Now let's just have a quick look at that in Hosea. Chapters 1 through to 3. I'm going to read a few verses here in a moment, but this is the life message to God's people. Let's have a quick look. Hosea 1. It says, "The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reign of Uzziah and Jotham and Ahaz and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, 'Go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord.' So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son." And we jump down to chapter 3, verse 1, where it says, "The Lord said to me, 'Go show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites.' though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. Man, I've got to get me some of those raisin cakes. I was really quite interested what these raisin cakes had in them. And the reality is that some commentators believe that it might have been a form of aphrodisiac. There's some stuff in there, and I don't think I need to say much more. But there, the raisin cakes. Verse 2, it says, so I bought her, and this is really important. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethek of barley. And then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I'll behave the same way towards you. For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or household gods. Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. Really interesting verse that we just read there is the fact that Hosea had to pay to be with her. He was her husband, and he had to pay to get her back. And I don't know about you, but doesn't that foreshadow something? It foreshadows the price that God will ultimately pay to get us back. Then we jump down to chapters 4 through to 14, and this reports, if you read Hosea, it reports the prophetic message to God's people. And so this morning I'm going to read some of that, and I'm just going to grab my other prop here. Okay.
All right, hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursing, lying and murder, stealing and adultery. They break all bounds and bloodshed follows bloodshed. You get my idea?
Their deeds do not permit them to return to their God. A spirit of prostitution is in their heart. They do not acknowledge the Lord. And then we skip down to the top of page 217. It says, return, Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Church, God spoke loudly during this time through messengers like Elijah and Elijah, like Hosea. And believe it or not, God is still speaking today. He's saying, return, Australia. Return to your Lord, the Lord your God. He's saying, return and place your name in that little gap there. Return to the Lord your God. Your phone is ringing. Will you pick it up? Will you pick it up this morning? Or will you look at the caller ID and you'll go, oh, it's God again. And you'll let it ring out, you'll put it down, and you'll let it go to voicemail. You know, the creator of the story, Randy Frazee, he says this. He says, messages of correction almost always fall on deaf ears when we are in times of prosperity, and often in depression and recession. we are open to hearing the voice of God. I wonder what you think about this. I wonder what you see and read when you see a quote like that. I wonder what camp you think our nation is in. I wonder what camp you are sitting in today. It's my phone again. Yes, God. Yeah, I'm telling them. Yep. All right, I will. I promise. Okay. Thanks. Church, that was God. And He is wanting you to know that He is speaking. God is speaking. God is speaking to us today through His Word. And that is why here at LifeStreams we are just so committed to teaching and to hearing God's Word. It's such an integral part of our faith. It's such an integral part of our kingdom life. Can I encourage you to be in His Word? God is also speaking today through His Spirit. And if you're in a relationship with God, you have decided to follow Jesus, then you have the Spirit of God living inside of you. And the Spirit of God will guide you. He will convict you. He will comfort you. He will nudge you. He will lead you. And He will also illuminate God's Word for you. So I want to encourage you, be filled with the Spirit. Pursue the Spirit of God with everything that you have. And He will speak. And if you've not decided to follow Jesus yet, can I encourage you? Can I encourage you to take that step this morning? Maybe God has for some time just been nudging you, knocking at the door of your heart and saying, hey, follow me. Follow me. Can I encourage you to take that step today? You know, there's many people here who would absolutely love, and it would be an absolute privilege for us to talk to you more about that and to help you find and follow Jesus, to guide you into a relationship with Him. So please let us know. Please come and talk to us after church this morning. So He talks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through His Spirit. And He speaks through us. He also speaks through Christ-centered communities. He uses our words to each other. But not only our words, He also speaks through the way we treat one another. The way we interact. And that is why we need each other. That is why we do church. That is why we have spiritual retreats. That is why we have life groups. That is why we do courses. That is why we have mentoring. And that is why it is one of the roots in our kingdom life, that tree, our discipleship tree, and it's called spiritual relationships. We need each other because God speaks through all of those ways, and God is speaking this morning. He's speaking. Just like He did all those years ago. Just like He did through the prophets like Hosea. He is speaking today. What is He saying to you? What is He saying? Is He saying, do something? Is He saying, stop something? Is He saying, go there? Is He saying, stay here? Is He saying, keep charging? Is He saying, slow down? Is He saying, join that? Get up, give, serve, love? Is He saying, forgive that person? You need to do that so you can move on. Is He saying, love me, come to me? Or maybe He is simply saying to you this morning, I love you. I love you. That's what I'm saying. That's what you need to hear this morning. Church, what is He saying to you? Will you take His call? or will you let it ring out? Let's take a few moments now to listen to God's Spirit, to listen to His voice, to be still and to know that He is God. And then we're going to worship together as we wrap up this morning.